Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 23 November, 2025, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we've studied the first three points in the doctrine of election. We have come to point four, the election of the church. Point four, the election of the church. First of all, one, we enter into election to privilege at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, salvation. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Two, we have the privilege of historical impact by advancing to spiritual maturity, becoming a part of the pivot in Client Nation USA. Boy, do we need to see that pivot get larger and larger in America today. You see, the privilege of election to privilege, God has this fantastic plan where he wants the very highest and best for us. He's given us a unique spiritual life, that supernatural way of life. It has to have divine power to live it. That divine power is God the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which is in your heart. And you combine those two, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you attain spiritual maturity, you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and God has the most fantastic, the highest and best of blessings in time and for all eternity. And as you accomplish that, you become a part of the pivot, and the nation is blessed. You are part of the pivot of spiritually mature believers. And we need in this nation today, this is what we need. Our nation to be blessed because of a maximum number of believers who have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and are glorifying Jesus Christ. That's what we need now more than ever in our nation's history. So we have the privilege of historical impact by advancing to spiritual maturity. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3 starts out, his divine power. That's the power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, That's the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the combination of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and metabolized doctrine in the heart of the believer from the teaching ministry of the Spirit. His divine power has given us everything we need for life, even godliness. And that word godliness is the Greek, really a neat word, elsebeia. E-U-S-E-B-E-I-A, elsebeia. And the best way to translate this, not godliness, but the spiritual life. The spiritual life that God has for us in the church age. His divine power, the power of the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Word of God in your heart through the teaching ministry of the Spirit, has given us everything we need for life, even the spiritual life, through knowledge. And knowledge is epinosis, the epinosis doctrine, the Word of God that you learn and believe, and therefore it's in your heart, through the epinosis doctrine of Him who elected us to privilege, called us to His own glory and godliness, and goodness, excuse me, and goodness, who has called us, elected us to privilege, to His own glory and goodness. Ephesians, or 2 Peter 1, verse 3. So we have the privilege of historical impact by advancing to spiritual maturity, becoming a part of the pivot. The function of Gentile clan nations demands a pivot of spiritually mature believers for freedom and for evangelism in the nation. Three, the church age believer must not only understand his relationship to God, but his relationship to history as well. The church age believer must not only understand his relationship to God, but his relationship to history as well. This is one of the things it was sad for us to see a believer like Charlie Kirk assassinated. But he totally understood this. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had the great motivation to go right on college campuses and bring the people who disagreed with him the most, come on down, come close, and ask them, what's your problem? They would say, and then he would explain what the Bible says, divine viewpoint. And they would say, how can you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior? How can you believe that? Well, he says, simple. He was resurrected. He was crucified, put in the grave, and 3 days later, he was resurrected. There's an announcement that he is who he claimed to be. That's why. The church age believer must not only understand his relationship to God, but his relationship to history as well. You must understand your relationship to God, man, and history. In fulfilling our relationship to God, we fulfill our relationship to the other two, to man and to history. Four, you must know that election is God's plan for you. Election is God's plan for you. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You must know that election is God's plan for you. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. And see the very first word? Knowing. Knowing. What's the point? You must know that election is God's plan for you. Knowing, brethren, royal family, beloved by God, His kaleo, election of you. His choice of you, His election to privilege of you. So you must know that election is God's plan for you. 5. As God's elected ones, we are commanded to put on the uniform of honor. As God's elected ones, we are commanded to put on the uniform of honor and to live our life by the royal family honor code. And that means having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. The ultimate objective for why we're here in this short time on earth. So as God's elected ones, we are commanded to put on the uniform of honor and live our life by the royal family honor code and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. The Apostle Paul taught this again and again. First of all, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling, your election to privilege that you have received. Be completely humble, humility, the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, and gentle, maximum grace orientation in your life. Be patient, bearing with one another in virtue love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, and that is the doctrine of reconciliation. Reconciliation removes barriers. When you are living out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system, you create barriers between others. But when you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then you remove barriers. You remove barriers. You don't create barriers. And today, there's so many times I see believers, they create barriers. They get after one another. They judge one another. Every time you get into sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning, you have no spiritual life. You have no spiritual life at all. That's not the filling of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not judging, slandering, maligning, malicious gossiping. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. When you're living the spiritual life, that's what's being manifested through you. You don't create barriers. You tear barriers down. Reconciliation is the removal of barriers. And when you put on the uniform of honor and live by the royal family honor code, you remove barriers between yourself and other believers or anybody else. You take those down. They're not an issue. We don't see that very often today. We see Christians creating barriers, judging, slandering, maligning, gossiping, tearing down, accusing. That's not the spiritual life. When you are in that mode, you have no spiritual life at all. And there you need to obviously rebound, get back into fellowship with God. Then you need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. When you do that, and you put on the uniform of honor, you're putting on the virtues of Christ. That will remove all barriers. That's where all of us should be. And then not only Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, but also Colossians. So turn over to Colossians 3. We've seen this passage, but I wanted you to see another passage. The Apostle Paul taught this and taught this and taught this. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's elected ones, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, that is, put on the uniform of honor. It's an invisible uniform. It goes on in your heart. It goes on in your soul. Therefore, as God's elected ones, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself, put on the uniform of honor. And what is this uniform of honor made up of? Compassion, grace orientation, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And bear with each other and forgive. Now listen, follow it. Forgive. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on virtue love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now this is where all of you should be. This is where every single one of you should be. You assemble. It's one thing to come and listen to me stand up here, my lips going back and forth. It's another thing for you to believe it. Believe it. Enter into your heart. When it enters into your heart by the power of the Spirit of God, you will then apply it. And it'll change your whole life. It'll turn your whole life around. This is where all of you should be. As God's elected ones, we are commanded to put on the uniform of honor and live our life by the Royal Family Honor Code and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. 6, our election is not according to works, but according to God's infinite and matchless grace. Our election is not according to works, but according to God's infinite and matchless grace. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us, elected us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was granted us in Christ Jesus in eternity past. 7, believers are commanded to make their calling and election a spiritual reality. Believers are commanded to make their calling and election a spiritual reality. 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, royal family of God, be more motivated to make your calling and election a spiritual reality. For by doing these things, you will never stumble. Stumbling is making bad decisions, getting out of fellowship with God, living by the lust patterns of your sin nature, living in Satan's cosmic system. That's stumbling. For by doing these things, you will never stumble. For in this manner, your entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's ultimate sanctification in a resurrection body, will be richly supplied. That's the God giving you greater grace blessings given to the winner believer. So a question, how do you make your election a spiritual reality? I'm glad you asked that. By living the spiritual life that God has given us, the unique spiritual life of the church age, by the spiritual skills. And that demands us fulfilling the mandates that God has given us. He's given us all a mandate. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. That's a mandate for all of us. How do we make our election a spiritual reality? Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Keep on walking by the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how you make your election a spiritual reality. Election is only the potential for impact on history. We make our calling and election a reality when we advance to spiritual maturity. 8. Election is also a reason for thanksgiving for others. And by the way, everybody makes a big deal about a single day out of the year, Thanksgiving. And that's fine. But as a member of the royal family of God, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and put on the uniform of honor, you ought to have thanksgiving every single day. Every day. Not just one day out of the year. Every one of you, you should have thanksgiving every single day. You should have Christmas every single day. And for every one of you, this should be reality. This should be reality in your life. That you have thanksgiving every single day. And if you don't, I feel sorry for you. This ministry is here. The Word of God, which is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, is taught 5 times a week. Which gives you the opportunity to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to attain spiritual maturity, to put on the uniform of honor, to live your life by the royal family honor code. And when that is true, and it should be true for all of you, you will have thanksgiving every single day. Not one day, every single day, 365 days a year. And you'll have Christmas every single day, 365 days a year. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we should always, notice what it doesn't say, but we should only on Thanksgiving Day. It doesn't say that. It says we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has elected you to privilege, chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit, positional sanctification, and faith in the truth, experiential sanctification. So election is a reason for thanksgiving for others. All right. That brings us to point five. Point five. And point five is the equal privilege of election. The equal privilege of election. And what is that equal? I told you earlier, you probably remember it, the universal priesthood of the church age believer. You are all royal priests. Not just Pastor Olson up here, but you are all royal priests. Every one of you. So this is equal privilege of election. The universal priesthood of the church age believer. Subpoint one. Our royal priesthood shows that God's plan for us in the church age as royal family is totally and completely unique. Our royal priesthood shows that God's plan for us in the church age as royal family is totally and completely unique. Never before the church age and never after the rapture is there ever another universal priesthood. It is only for us in the church age. Our royal priesthood shows that God's plan for us in the church age as royal family is totally and completely unique. Two, in the church age, every believer is a priest and represents himself before God. In the church age, every believer is a priest and represents himself before God. Three, under the privacy of your priesthood, you are responsible for yourself before God. Under the privacy of your priesthood, you are responsible for yourself before God. And this means you are responsible for every thought that you think, you're responsible for every motive you have. You're responsible for every decision that you make. You're responsible for every action that you take, good or bad. God is holding you responsible for your own decisions. Why? Because he has made you a priest, a royal priest, so that you could represent yourself before him. That's why. Under the privacy of your priesthood, you are responsible for yourself before God. Well, we'll stop there. This, the doctrine of election to privilege in the five steps to glory for the royal family of God of the church age, this is so important for all of you to totally understand this. Totally understand. And this point, equal privilege of election, the universal priesthood of the church age believer. This is critically, you need to nail this. Nail it. And live your life by the light of the Word of God. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.